If you think that being a pastor's wife is all glitz and glamour and all of that sort of stuff, you need to talk to her because she can tell you some stories. And, you know, when we were engaged, people said, oh, all she wants to do is be the youth pastor's wife. I was a youth pastor at that point in time. And they did everything that they could, really, to prevent the relationship from happening. But it wasn't something that was birthed out of emotional attachment as much as it was birthed out of spiritual relationship. And so we have weathered the storm, seen some wonderful victories, and faced challenges, seen people's lives changed. And I tell you, when there were times when I was working full-time and I was the youth pastor, and she would end up taking the kids to youth camp and stuff like that. She and I, we make a great team, and so I want to say happy anniversary to her. We kind of make each other's ideas better, and so that's what we try and do. And we've been blessed with a number of wonderful kids, and so I'm so very thankful today for the wife that God has blessed me with. The scripture says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." And I found a great one. And so I say happy anniversary to her today. Today I want to take you into the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 13. We started off going through the Sermon on the Mount. We spent a lot of time in the Lord's Prayer. You know, somebody told me, they said, "You're different on the radio than you are when you preach." And that's probably true, because I'm sitting here with my notes. I'm not trying to make eye contact with anybody. I'm much more mobile when I am preaching. I think one of the greatest inventions of all time, twofold, was first of all the cordless telephone, and second, the cordless microphone. I'm a lot more mobile when I preach. You can see that if you watch on the Facebook Live. But the other thing that I am able to do here on the radio program is I can go through topics thoroughly, where you can't always do that in a sermon setting. You've got to address all of the congregation's needs, not just some of, you know, one topic for a year and a half or so. You know, so today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 13. We are going to read one verse, and we did on the Lord's Prayer. We have now reached Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And right now we are focusing on the part where if you're going to seek God's kingdom, you're supposed to be seeking justice. And so there's a nugget of truth in Proverbs 13. It's in verse number 23 that is very, very profound. I've talked to you a number of times saying, you know, when I go into study for these radio programs, I end up learning things along the way myself. I don't go in and say, okay, this is what I know, so I'm going to teach it. I say, God, what do you want me to teach? And then, you know, how do you want me to teach it? And I end up learning things in the process. Verse number 23 says this: "Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste." That word waste means to scrape or shave or scatter or remove or ruin, snatched away, carried away, or swept away. For lack of justice, there is waste. Now, for me, I do not believe that people are disposable. I believe that they have value. I believe that they were created in the image of God, and God wants to restore people to that image that He created them to have in the first place. When my wife and I did get married, I tell people, I mean, we still have our original wedding rings. they were bought from a store and said, hey, there's a lifetime guarantee on these rings. You can always come back to the store, and if you want to upgrade your wedding rings, we'll give you full value for what you paid for it, and we'll let you upgrade to a better ring. Except for once we moved to Florida, that store went out of business. So we still have our wedding rings. They still have diamonds in them. And this is the way that I describe these diamonds, because when I proposed to her, I was making I was bringing home $84 a week, working 70 hours a week. It was not a lot of money. It wasn't even enough money to pay my bills. So I bought these rings, and I say, now the diamonds that are in this ring, those are actually when the diamond cutter is shaping the diamond and putting a beautiful texture on it, or a finish on it, or a shape. You know, they go around and they sweep up the little chips that they just chipped off. I said, those shavings, those are what are in our wedding ring. I think that the clasps are probably bigger than the diamonds, but it's not about the size of the diamond in the ring. It's the size of the love that God has put in our hearts. So a diamond cutter says, you know what, we don't want to waste anything. Here in verse number 23, it says, and for lack of justice, there is waste. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. So there are two different types of waste that are taking place here. One is a squandered opportunity, and one is not taking advantage of the opportunity that was there. One is you abuse the opportunity, and the second is you're too lazy to do anything with it. So there is a, I think that's a note from a different sermon there. We are destroyed due to the iniquity of the city is what that note says, and that has to do with a different verse, so we're going to move on for that. So, and for lack of justice, there is waste. And for lack of justice, there is waste. The first thing that I want to talk about is injustice, or a lack of justice, wastes resources. So if several weeks ago, my wife and I, we were out taking a drive, and we encountered a place where some people were talking, and they were talking about the people who were leaving a certain area. And we have some familiarity with people from that area, know a little bit about the area, not as much as others do, but know that it is generally considered one of the nicer areas in that region. And they were saying people were leaving that area en masse due to the injustices that were going on in that community. You see, if you're stuck in a place, then you have to deal with the injustice. You have to figure out a way to manage it and deal with it and cope with it and all that. If you have the resources, you can say, I'm not going to put up with this. You can pack your bags, you can get out of Dodge, and you can go find someplace else. So but that was their words. And again, I wasn't in on the conversation. I just heard this, and I want you to know that God doesn't want there to be waste. So if you were dealing with a justice system that was operating in a corrupt manner through bribery or distortion or contortion of justice, you would be wasting people's finances. You would be wasting police officers' time. You would be wasting people's time away from work. There would be lost wages. There would be mounting legal fees. In fact, I've heard people say, if you ever want to bankrupt somebody, you just sue them because they can't afford the legal fees. It's You know, and it's a form of injustice. The legal system calls them frivolous lawsuits and things like that, where all you are doing is wasting the court's time, you're wasting the judge's time, you're wasting jurors' time, you're wasting a tremendous amount. And so we don't want to waste resources. We also don't want to waste opportunities. So we have, as a country, always been very good at providing a food supply that was sufficient to the need. And just about to think that the time you think that you can't produce any more, there's advances in technology and computer aided farming techniques and things like that, that you discover there was a lot more potential in that ground than what we knew. Well, what the Bible says here is there is much food in the fallow ground, not of the lazy, although that is true as well, but of this case, it says of the poor. Did you know that it is not just the rich who have something to contribute to society? It can be a person from any socioeconomic status. And so whenever you see something, don't just look on the outside. Look at the potential, what is available on the inside. See, I'm a big potential guy. I look at things and say, you know what, that there's potential there. I may not know how to get that potential out, but I probably know people who know how to get that potential out. And so, not too long before we started the radio program, we had bought a fixer-upper house near where my daughters went to school. And, you know, the goal was to either help, you know, sell the house to help pay for their school or to have them be able to live in the house, but the school hadn't filled up all their dorm rooms and they wouldn't let them do that. And so one day my daughter had some time, and so it's an hour and a half away from here. And as we were driving around, we looked at this one house and she said, "Dad, that house there's the Jesus house because it needs Jesus." It was horrible. The doors were broken. The windows were broken. The wiring had been stolen. The air conditioner had been stolen. Everything about the house just was not good at all. And so that was the house we ended up buying. And here recently, I looked, and we fixed it up. We rented it for a number of years. We ended up selling it. But I looked up recently and said, "I wonder how much that house is worth now." And in 1 month, it increased the amount we paid for the house, which wasn't, I mean, we bought it because nobody else really wanted the house. It was pretty cheap. But there was tremendous potential there. You just had to be able to see what was possible. So you don't want to waste opportunities. Wasted opportunities due to injustice, it wastes the opportunities to prevent future injustice. And what I mean by that is a lot of people are deterred from doing unjust things because they see the price that other people paid for doing unjust things. And so we need to prevent not just present injustice, but we need to maintain justice in a righteous standard because it serves a preventative measure. Don't waste the opportunity to prevent something bad from happening. It is also a wasted opportunity to prepare people for eternity. It's a wasted opportunity to prepare people for eternity. If everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes, then truth is no longer a standard, an objective standard. It has become a subjective concept. And I want you to know that truth never changes. Truth is not fluid. Truth is truth. And though society may want to try and undermine absolute truth, truth is an absolute. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The Bible does not offer advice. The Bible does not offer suggestions. The Bible speaks truth. The Bible speaks wisdom. And the Bible speaks justice. And so what justice does is it presents an opportunity to people for them to prepare for eternity. So don't waste opportunities. Another thing that is wasted, I think I mentioned this, is it wastes time. Injustice wastes time. If everybody is just going through a motion, then everybody's time is being wasted. And you only have a certain amount of time. There's 168 hours in a week. There's 24 hours in a day. But there's only a certain number of years that are ordered and directed for you. And so I want to greatly encourage you, don't allow injustice to waste your time. It's like, well, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Let's be productive with our time. Some other things is that injustice wastes life. Now, I'm getting ready to go into a concept that is very sensitive in our society, and that's this. Abortion is an injustice. Abortion is an injustice. That baby doesn't deserve to be treated to a death sentence. A baby doesn't deserve that. On Mother's Day, I challenged our ladies and I said this, ladies, your womb is a sanctuary. It is a safe place. It's supposed to be a safe place for that baby to grow and that baby to live and that baby to develop. That's what it's supposed to be. Don't let it become a death chamber. Because not only is a sanctuary a safe place, but it is a holy place. The Bible says that God has declared, I knew you even in your mother's womb. It is a place where you begin to introduce that infant to its creator. Babies are not cosmic accidents. They're not biological mysteries or anything like that. They are formed. They are the heritage that we have from the Lord. So it is life. Anytime a person brings up about the troubled state of the economy, if they are pro-abortion, then I want to ask them, how many, let me just tell you this statistic. Since 1973, by 2011, there had already been over 50 million abortions here in America. That number, according to the article that I read, says that now we are probably over 60 million aborted babies, aborted gifts from God. And so anytime somebody says, I am for this because my life would have just been way too inconvenienced if I'd had that baby, then I want to ask them, how many outfits, how many clothing outfits would those people have needed? How many pairs of shoes would they have gone through? How many automobiles would need to be manufactured for them? How many houses would need to be built? How many restaurants? How many jobs would be created? How many schools would there be? How many, 1973, let me do a little bit, 27, they'd be, in their late 40s now. How much would they have invested in the stock market? You see, there is a lot of social waste that has taken place because of the injustice of abortion. Life is a gift from God. And we need to say, you know what? We're not just going to tolerate this. We want to see injustice come to an end. Look, if you have ever experienced injustice, you know how horrible it can be, and you don't want anybody to go through that. And I especially don't want an innocent baby. I used my loud vocal cords one time to intervene in a situation where an intoxicated lady was, attempted to be hit by a beer bottle thrown by an intoxicated man. And so I used my loud mouth and said, "Hey, stop that." And because I didn't want to see that injustice. I don't want to see anybody getting beaten in the road or anything like that. I want to stop that sort of injustice. And I certainly don't want to see an innocent child be the victim of injustice because it is a wasted life. It wastes the victim's life, okay? Injustice wastes the victim's life. There are people who had tremendous potential, and I'm not even talking about abortion here at this point. I'm talking about at some point in time, somebody did something to them that was not right. It was unjust. It was horrible. It was tragic. And because of that one event, it changed the trajectory of their life entirely. Now, if that's you, I want you to understand that you have a God who is a healer. Okay? And from what I know about people who have perpetrated injustice, most of the time they never consider the people that they victimized. They just move on. They don't give any mental capacity to it at all. They don't waste any time thinking about those horrific things. And yet the victim is left traumatized, and the potential that they had for their life to a large degree ends up being wasted. Let me remind you again what it says in verse number 23 of Proverbs 13. And for lack of justice, there is waste. They're just barely scraping by. They're just left with the remnants, and whatever potential was there has been snatched away. The victim is, there is waste of the victim's life in what they could have contributed to society. You know, what if there had been a person who was aborted, and God had created that person with the capabilities, the skills, and had ordered their steps in such a way they were going to be the one that would come up with a cure for a disease that you were going to face at some point in time. You know, from April through June, there's lots and lots of opportunities for celebration in our family. And each one of the members of our household we've all done our fair share of presenting challenging moments for the others, but each one of us, because of the grace of God, have the ability to be a blessing someplace else. And the third thing that I want to talk about here, as far as waste, is the injustice waste. Unfulfilled potential. It causes what was possible to not ever come to fruition. And I don't know if you've ever thought about injustice like that before. I certainly had never paid that much of attention to this verse. I don't want to live in an unjust society. I want to live in a just society. Did you know that from what I have been told, a baby that is born does not naturally speak the language that it will speak as it grows? It is born with vocal cords that are pliable so that it can learn from the society, the people that are raising it. But after a while, those vocal cords begin to take shape and you get that accent. I want you to hang around people who are not into injustice, but are into justice. I want you to hang around people of faith, because no matter what's happened in your past, God is able to take whatever horrible things have happened, turn it around, and cause it to be a blessing so that your potential reaches the people that you were designed to touch. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Praise awaits you in this place today, O Lord. Gathered ready, God, to sing your praise. Ready to respond to the glories of your name, to the wonders of your heart, to your great love. Praise is waiting for you in this place. There's a cry that our spirits will make as we see your glory. Seasons go, but you remain. No one changes, all deserving.